podcast is to ensure that you, the aspiring entrepreneur, you, the dreamer, you, the person that feels that you are pregnant with a business idea, something that you want to bring to this world, something, and let's just be honest, you want to get paid for, even something that you want to change the industry with, you want to dominate that industry. That's what this podcast, this is what this platform is for. So you can have the necessary information, the necessary tools that you need and that you deserve to get there quicker, sooner, and faster. So again, I am your host, Asa Laveau. We have a great show for you today. The reason why I'm saying that, because I often say to you guys that there are five pillars of business. So those five pillars start with marketing, telling people about your business. The next one is about sales. That is actually making the money, letting somebody understand what you have to offer and then giving them the grace and the space to choose you or what you're offering. And then right after that is operations. So we finally are telling people about the business. We're finally making money. Our cash register, whether it be a physical cash register or a virtual cash register, they are ringing. Like, we are getting notifications on our phone. We're making sales. It's feeling great. But what's next? Making sure that the system is, in fact, in place so that we can have a sustainable business. And within operations, sometimes we don't even consider that we're going to have to hire people. We're going to have people on our team so that we can scale. And what I mean by scale, we want to be able to grow the business in a way that's bigger than what we can do. All right. So without further ado, I want to bring on today's guest. And today's guest is Delmar Johnson. She has an organization called HR Brain for Hire, also known as the Rebootologist. Now, the reason why I'm bringing Delmar on is because I know that you are definitely going to be one day, if not now, getting ready to have somebody in your business that's working for you as a contractor or an employee. So I want her to be able to help us go through that journey together. And so without further ado, welcome Delmar. Hi, how are you?
Hey, Asa, how are you? I'm so happy to be here.
I'm doing really, really well, very well. So before we get started, something that I love to do, so I don't know, sometimes I know that when I bring people on, they can be a little bit nervous, but with you, I don't think that's the case, but I'm still gonna continue. So one of the questions that I'd like to ask is, what was one of your favorite cartoons growing up?
Oh, that's easy, Scooby-Doo.
Oh, Scooby-Doo. Okay, why Scooby-Doo? That's a good, I like that choice. But why Scooby-Doo?
Scooby-Doo was about solving mysteries. Obviously, it was a cartoon, but it was about solving mysteries. So I always like to try to figure out what it is that they were trying to find out or who was the culprit in the Scooby-Doo, schemes, if you will, the Scooby-Doo crimes that they were trying to investigate. So that I had a whole list. You know, I was a real kid. So I had a whole list of cartoons, but Scooby-Doo was my favorite.
Well, cool. So the reason why I asked that, because one of the things that I definitely want to make sure that the people that are listening understand is that in entrepreneurship, it's important to be a whole person. And so yes, just because, you know, we talk about strategies and developing businesses, there are people behind these things, and it's okay to actually see the person and not just the business.
Exactly. I'm in total agreement with you. It's like we have to understand as entrepreneurs that we were human beings long before we decided to be entrepreneurs.
Exactly. So another question that I make sure that I ask, because this show, the purpose of this podcast is to ensure those people, the the young women, the young men, the older men, the older women that are looking to start their very own business. And my thing is, you are as young or as old as you feel. And so if you're looking to build your business in your first $10,000, what do you feel was the number one barrier for you that, looking back, you're like, if I would have just handled that barrier, I could have made my first thousands of dollars quicker, sooner, and faster? What was that one thing that you wish, looking back, you could have gotten over sooner?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good question, Asa. Probably a couple of different pieces to it, but probably the number one thing is to understand the problem that I solved quicker. If I had gotten more into what I like to call the zone of genius, which is perfect for the Genius Academy, right? Probably exactly. Tearing down what it is that I wanted to offer that was a solution for entrepreneurs. Because a lot of times we can
okay, so
place,
when you
right?
You are very, very correct. So when you first started out, what was it as niche as this? Did you know you wanted to help people, bringing people onto their team with human resources, or was it just it was more broad?
It was a little bit more broad, because at the time when I actually started thinking about this entrepreneur journey that I've been in for the past several years, is like I was more of an empowerment girl. So I was kind of split between, okay, do I want to do the empowerment side of who I am, or do I want to do the side of me that had 20 plus years of experience in the HR field, and how would I utilize that? So I wind up choosing the HR side first, because the empowerment is natural. The empowerment comes with me everywhere I go. So once I got that narrowed down, I actually had a coach that took me through some personal development cycle with her coaching program. And that actually helped me narrow down. So, okay, let me get focused on the piece that's already in my hand, which is the HR side, because naturally the empowerment side is going to come out. So once I got clear about that and began to just kind of test the waters, if you will, then I was able to begin niche it down to what I was going to be doing on the HR side for entrepreneurs.
So I'd like, and we're going to stay there just for a second. And yes, we are. So if you're listening, yes, we are going to get to making sure we rack Del Mar's brain about HR. But one of the things that you mentioned just now was about the empowerment. So a lot of times I see that many people, especially women, they come into the entrepreneurial world. And when asked what they intend to do in that world, a lot of times their response sounds like empowering women, empowering children, empowering mm-hmm. teens. Do mm-hmm. you feel that when you hear that, that's usually a statement that needs to be filtered, or is that something that can actually be quantitative as far as how to make money from it?
Well, I think it's both. I think, first of all, you have to filter. So if you're going to be in the empowerment realm of the industry, you have to filter where you're going to direct that energy toward. Because a lot of times when you're starting out as an entrepreneur, you think that you're supposed to serve everybody, and you're not. This world is big, obviously, 7 billion plus people on the planet. However, when you're trying to figure out which direction you're going to go, and if empowerment side is going to be the side that you need to define, you can even niche that down even further. Are you going to be empowering women through domestic violence? Are you going to be empowering women who are trying to get their finances together? Are you going to be empowering women that are, you know, like to travel and want to know how to do that on a budget? So, you know, narrowing down what that empowerment is going to do, whether that's with women or youth, or, you know, men too, then you have to define where you're going to direct that empowerment toward. And yes, it can be quantified and making money off of it, but you have to first get clear about what you're doing before you begin to make the money, if that makes sense.
It makes so much perfect sense. Thank you for that. And one of the things you touched on quickly is thinking that it's for everyone. And a part of mm-hmm. marketing, we talk about the five pillars of business. when you say that, you know, mm-hmm. my product, my service is for everyone, you can tell that right then and there, you don't understand. And it's really for no one at that point. Once you niche mm-hmm. that thing down, then you can get very, very clear and go after the person that's been waiting for you for sometimes their entire life. They've been waiting for you to show up, but you don't know that until you niche down. So thank you so much for saying that. Definitely.
Yes.
So the next question that I have for you is, okay, so let's say my name is Ashley, and I say Ashley. I like that name because I know men that are named Ashley, and I know women that are named Ashley. So let's say my name is Ashley, mm-hmm. and I am just now getting started. So I have a business, and I'm starting to understand that this is a lot of work, and it's taking mm-hmm. everything out of me to do this thing. What would you tell me to consider? Like, I have things working, but I am feeling very, very overwhelmed at this moment. And so what can I mm-hmm. do, or what should I consider as far as bringing somebody on my team to alleviate that level of overwhelm?
Great question. It's a question I've asked, probably the number one question I've asked in all the years I've been doing HR is like, where do I even start, Del Mar? And you really start at the beginning. A lot of times entrepreneurs will come to me when they're in a state of overwhelm and then they don't hear what I'm saying. So if you get to a point of state of overwhelm, the first thing you need to do is stop. You need to stop, pull out a pen and paper or your real cool laptop or smartphone and begin to write down what is it that you're doing in your business right now, all by yourself. You know, usually if you're all by yourself, you're the marketer, you're the social media manager, you're the email marketer, you're the salesperson and the candlestick maker, all right? So you're all things, but you need to write down what is it that you're actually doing on a daily basis. Just break it down to daily basis. Obviously, that list is probably going to be long, but you need to find out what are the core things that you're doing in your business that's actually bringing in business, that's actually bringing, allowing you to bring in clients and retain clients and bring on new clients and bring in revenue and profits, hopefully. But before you jump into, oh, I need to find somebody, but you hadn't defined who that person is, or you hadn't defined the position or the job or the responsibilities or tasks that you're going to want someone to do. So first, I say stop. If you're in overwhelm, because overwhelm is going to get you in a lot of trouble. Stop, assess, write down, then go back and look at what it is that you wrote down, and then define where it is that you need the most help right now. Now, you may need help in all 10 areas that you wrote down on your piece of paper, but what is the one or top one or two things that you know you need more immediate help with, and the other things can be added on later. So before you even jump into hiring anybody, you hadn't defined what it is that you need in your business, you're going to be running around in circle on the hamster wheel. So I always say stop, assess, write down, go back and narrow down the top one, two, or three things that you know you need help in, and then begin to define what responsibilities are part of that role that you would like to fill.
So thank you for that. And so one of the things that I would like to do in this moment is, before we go any further, is definitely play this out as though I am Ashley the entrepreneur. So I'm Ashley the entrepreneur, and let's say I have a t-shirt line. I know a lot of times people love the success that online apparel companies can have, and so I have an online t-shirt company, and so I'm just going to pretend I'm Ashley for the moment, and you can mm-hmm. stop me or clarify as I stop. So the first thing that you said was stop. So I know business still has to happen, but I definitely need to find some type of quiet moment, mm-hmm. at least 30 minutes, an hour, to just stop
yes.
doing us, get off social media. If I'm single, get off the dating sites, like, just for a minute, just mm-hmm. be still. Like, just be still. All right, so I got all together and I stopped. And the next thing is to write down things that I'm doing to get business. So mm-hmm. let's say right now I make 3 social media posts a day. I know I do one in the morning, I mm-hmm. do one in the afternoon, and I do one in the evening. And what those social media posts usually are, they're, most of the time they're motivational. However, they show a picture of myself or some friends of mine in the apparel that I've created or that I sell. And so I can literally say in one of the, I can write down, okay, 3 times a day, post on Facebook at this time, and this time, and include a motivational quote and a high resolution picture of the items that are being sold at the store or boutique. Correct so far?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. So then once I write that down, I assess, how long will this usually take somebody to do? How long is it taking me to do? So if it's taking me, let's say, 5 minutes to create the content, so I go find the image, I find the quote, and I post it, all of that takes roughly 5 to 7 minutes for myself, so I can assess what exactly needs to be done, as well as the time frame it needs to be done. And then I can define how important is that particular thing in my business, and if that's something that I should even be worried about, and if it's actually bringing in sales, correct?
Correct. You are on a roll.
Awesome. So I just wanted to make sure for everyone listening that when we bring people on to Genius Academy podcast, we are doing so with the intention of making everything a very actionable step so that mm-hmm. you can do this in the moment or right after. So of course we want to be entertaining, we want to be fun for you, but this is for you to make sure that $10,000 is coming quicker, sooner, and faster. So thank you for that. Definitely. So what is one of the biggest, do you have something to say further?
No, I'm sorry. I was putting you on mute so you wouldn't hear me cough.
No worries at all. No worries. We get it. Like, you are a human being a human. It's okay. So what would you say that when people come to you, what are one of the things that people say they are so afraid of?
Mm-hmm. Oh, good question. What the fear usually hangs around is the fact that, first of all, they don't feel comfortable in what they're doing. Second of all, is that they don't know if the person is going to be good for their business. And third of all, it's like they're kind of scared to actually give up a level of control in their business when they're and don't understand the power of delegation or how to do it effectively. So those are the three areas of that fear when someone comes to me. I don't know what I'm doing, Dale Myers. Like, I don't have a clue. It's like, I don't know if the person's going to be good enough to do it like I do it. And then, the third one is, I don't want to give up that much control of my business to someone I don't know. So those are the three levels of fear, or the three components of fear that usually someone is speaking to me about.
So those fears sound very, very valid to me. And mm-hmm. the fear that I even hear, and that I've even said myself, is that mm-hmm. I don't believe that anyone can do it the way that I do it. So when you come across CEOs, executives, business owners that say, I just don't really feel that no one can do this like me, what is your response to that fear?
Well, first of all, the first part of my response is, okay, I hear what you're saying. I completely understand that. And then I also say, I am a resource for you to come to. So to kind of ease that anxiety, that's what I'm here for. That's why I began my brand. And let's talk about what that means. And then I also put in a live scenario. It's like, I'm sure Fred Smith, who is the founder and board chairman of FedEx, probably thought the same thing when he wrote that C-minus level paper at Yale. Teacher told him it wasn't going to work, but he decided to take the risk and do it anyway. Now look at FedEx, or the person who started UPS, or the person who, or Jeff Bezos who started Amazon. I'm sure he wasn't completely, no one can really do it like me, but all those companies are multi-billion dollar companies today because somebody took the risk, somebody sought after a resource that could kind of guide them, kind of maybe hold their hands in taking that risk that they were doing. And then they had to, put in mechanisms that would help them find the people that would be culturally fit for their business. So I usually start off with, you know, easing their fear, letting them know that I completely hear them. I understand why they've never maybe done it before. I hadn't done it often enough. I'm here to help you. And then I give them a live scenario of the companies that we utilize every single day. If they had not taken the chance or the risk, or just like, you know, that bubbly feeling they probably had in their stomachs, like, oh my God, I need to bring some people on that's going to help me, but I don't know if it's going to work out, but I got to take a chance because I believe in my vision enough for it not to overtake the fear that I have in actually bringing someone on into my business.
Thank you for saying that. I can, if you're listening to this, while you're listening to this, I'm talking to the audience right now. As you're listening to this, I just like you, am definitely seeing Del Mar's experience. She has 20 years plus experience in this particular area of expertise. And if you are looking for somebody to assist you as far as how do I get, you know, everything out of myself and put on paper so that other people can follow the system that I built so that my business can grow and I can focus on things that I'm great at rather than being chief officer of everything, CEO mm-hmm. and COE. So there's no point in doing that. So yes, Delma, I brought her on here so she can show you all that there is more to this than being overwhelmed and stressed out and thinking that no one is out there that can assist you. So Delmar, you talked about, you know, Fred Smith and FedEx, and we're talking about fear. What I would like to know, and so that the audience can know, please let me know a time where you had fear in your own business, and what did you do to get past that fear?
Ooh, I've had a lot of fears along the way. I remember distinctly in 2013 when I actually had decided to step away from what I was attempting to do at that time. At that time, I had only been a couple of years into this idea of HR Brain for Hire brand. So I was still figuring some things out, right? But in probably 2013, it just seems like it wasn't getting any traction. I said, well, maybe it's some things that I'm not doing right. Of course, we're going to have failure. That's part of success. And I said, I couldn't necessarily put my finger on, okay, what is it that I really should be doing? So I actually, out of fear, kind of stepped away from it for almost a year of doing it. Because I said, I got to figure some things out before I keep spinning my wheels. So that fear actually stopped me. But my fear on the other side of that fear, it actually propelled me into understanding more of what I needed to be doing. So my fear actually caused me to stop, but the stopping actually worked in my favor. So by the time 2014 came around and I began to reconnect with my first business coach and mentor, and actually she was my first paying client when I was test driving everything out, picked up the phone and reached out to me, and that began, and we began the conversation again about some things that I wanted to do, but I wasn't quite sure how to do it or how to approach it or how to narrow it down. So my fear actually did stop me in 2013, but fear is not always a bad thing. If fear is going to sometimes make you be still long enough to figure things out, to push you forward, then that fear can be used for fuel instead of stopping you completely. And that's what I used it for. It caused me to stop, reassess, think about what in the world am I doing? Do I really want to keep doing this? I know how to do it from a corporate standpoint, but the entrepreneurs are not getting why what I offer is necessary or what the value that I bring to the small business and marketplace community. So I had to, that fear wound up being in my favor. So I had the audacity and taking the risk to actually stop. It's like, okay, let me just stop before I just mess up something that I don't want to mess up. So that actually worked in my favor. And I hadn't stopped since then either. So we're 5 years in now.
Well, congratulations on being 5 years in after that, you know, up and down roller coaster of yes. entrepreneurship. And so, and for those of you all that are listening, that is a more common story than, you know, this just trajectory that just goes up and up, up in a way that never has a dip. And even those that say, you know, there are this up, up and away, there are times that they may never tell you about that are definitely dips within their journey that are real. And my thing is, there's nothing wrong with them. It's all about how you bounce back, recover, and show your resiliency throughout that dip. And one of the things that you talked about just now was, you know, that you had to take a year off. And in entrepreneurship, sometimes we can feel bad, really, really bad about the fact that sometimes what we planned just isn't working. So the money that we thought was going to happen isn't there. The clients that we thought that said they were going to support us, not showing up. So in those moments, we may actually be like, you know what? It's time for us to get something that I refer to as a silent investor, also known as a job. Seriously, to actually pay what it takes to get into entrepreneurship and to build your business, because money has to come from somewhere, either sales or an investor or a silent investor, what I call a job. So can you even say some things to people that may be even looking for a job? Because I am not one of those people that say, or not one of those coaches that suggest that just because you have a job, even a part-time job, that somehow you are anything less than a true entrepreneur. So if you're looking for a job, what can you offer them as well?
Oh, most definitely, because I'm a prime example of that. I was a parallelpreneur, which is what I like to call it, you know, because you're parallel with working your dream on the side and actually able to eat on the other side, meaning you have a investor, you have a J-O-B, a job, whatever vernacular you want to use, that's actually keeping the lights on and putting food on your table. So you have to be practical on one side of your brain, and you have to, you know, still tap into that creativity and innovation on the other side. So I was a parallelpreneur until 2.5 years ago. Let's keep that real. I was a parallelpreneur, so I was a teacher. I always wanted to be a college teacher, so I wound up being an adjunct professor for a few years. Prior to that, I was still working in HR, but just in a contractor role. So I am now full-time, you know, putting my service out there as an independent HR consultant for the past 2.5 years. So being a parallelpreneur actually is smart. If you need to go back to a job, or if you, you know, you're in your job right now, you're a career job right now, well, that's fueling you to be able to invest in your side dream, because your side dream doesn't always have to be your side dream, but you have to make that decision for yourself. I know plenty of parallelpreneurs that actually love their corporate job, not just the paycheck. They actually like what they're doing in their job and in their career, but then they also have the passion to do what they do outside of the walls, because we really, in the full scheme of things, we all should have anywhere between 5 to 7 streams of income. Now, this may not be the podcast for that, but we were talking about getting to your first $10,000. So you want to understand that money can come, and that revenue stream can come from different places. It can come from your solid investor. It can come from your side dream, and your side dream can sprout out to other streams of income, right? So there's nothing wrong. I'm one of those coaches and HR trainers too. It's like, no, if you need a job and that is actually keeping you sane, because you're not doing this famine, you know, this up and down thing, you know, you feast and famine, as they call it in entrepreneurship, then that's going to keep your sanity in order to be more focused on what your dream is outside of that 9-to-5 wall. So I'm an advocate for it, because I did it myself. And if there was a time that come in the future where I have to do that again, I would do it without hesitation.
Thank you so much for saying that. And Delmar, just so you know, this is the podcast for that information. This is exactly. Definitely the podcast for all of that, because what sometimes happens in entrepreneurship, and I'm even talking for myself, sometimes we want to desire to wear the badge of entrepreneurship so bad that we put ourselves in harm's way financially, just so that we can make a Facebook post, an Instagram post, a blog post talking about entrepreneurship. But at the same time, we have, you know, you might have children at home. They need to be fed. You have rent that needs to be paid. And so there's nothing wrong with doing what you need to do to make that happen. Everybody's success journey looks different. No one's success has to look the exact same. Comparison is a thief of all joy. There is no reason why you're setting up your boutique, you're doing your apparel line, you're becoming a coach, you're becoming a speaker, you're becoming an author, a daycare owner. It does not matter, but we want you to make sure that you're thriving. I myself can remember my little boy, who I call my son, my S-O-N and my S-U-N, not being able to, I sent him to school without food. Why? Because I had a badge of honor that I was an entrepreneur. And what really needed to happen, I needed to let that go, let that pride go, let that ego go, and make some money so that my boy could eat food. Because guess what? He wasn't eating Instagram. He wasn't eating Instagram memes and getting high off of motivational speakers. He needed sustenance, and I needed to provide that as a father. So please remember in your entrepreneurial journey that all of those things are important, and we don't want you to be homeless. Yes, there are entrepreneurs that have made great successes and have homeless stories. Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, homeless. Tyler Perry, homeless. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to go that route. And so that's what we're here doing our best to tell you. So, one other thing, Delmar, that I would love for us to talk about is there a way, let's say I'm an entrepreneur, I'm actually the entrepreneur, and I'm just not at a point right now in my finances, because let's say the business really is taking care of me and those that I need to support, or just me, and I know that I don't have the money to really pay somebody a full-time salary. What are some alternatives to paying someone a full salary?
Okay, I got a few answers for that one. The first one is something, probably the top one or two things that I talk about all the time. It's actually, if you're starting out like that and your budget is almost non-existent sometimes, then I would suggest the first line of defense is internship. Have an intern and actually develop your own internship program. Now, let me put a caveat on that. It's more than just going out getting a college student. It's like, oh, yeah, I can go get that college student for free, and I can give them, you know, throw these tasks at that person, him or her, and they can get those done while I'm over here concentrating and talking on the phone with the client. It's so much more than that, because there's structure that should be behind an internship. Because an internship should always have an element of an educational experience. If an internship doesn't have an educational experience, you don't have an internship. So there's structure that has to be put around that. I'll talk about that and teach about that all the time. So that's probably one of the top three things that I'm asked about, how to do that. So that's one element that you can look at when you're money is funny, your change is strange, as I like to say, and your budget is not where it needs to be. Another thing is actually building relationship with people who do things that you don't know how to do, but you have a skill set that they don't know how to do. And how about building a relationship with maybe some strategic partners that, so if you're great at the IT side of things, you know, the IT, the technology, behind the scene things with business, and somebody else is good with marketing, why don't you have a conversation with them? It's like, listen, I know you need the IT part of it, the tech part of it. I need the marketing piece. How about let's do some strategic collaboration, and I set up your marketing plan for you, and the other person can set up the tech plan for them, or go behind the scenes and set up their CRM or something like that. So building relationships with strategic partners can do that as well. And then, you know, you have those platforms like Upwork.com that have freelancers where, you know, even if you only have maybe, I don't know, let's say $100 to work with, where if you go to Upwork.com, there are opportunities for you to be able to utilize that $100 or $200 budget that you may be working with and begin to get some things done. So you have to really be creative in that. Oh, you know what? Let me give you a fourth thing, Asa, because I said it was three. Let me give you a fourth thing. Also, tap into your friends or your family that is looking to do some kind of sweat equity, if you will, in your business, who believes in what you're doing. They have a skill set that they don't mind volunteering some time for you to get, you know, to help get you off the ground and help you build the basis of your business. So, you know, I always say don't necessarily put family and friends into your business, but there are family and friends that we have that really believe in what you're doing. And those are the ones that you want to, you know, you want to tap into and say, hey, I need help with this. I know you skilled at that. I can give you some exposure for that if you help me with this. So it's just even another barter situation, if you will, even with a good family or friend who really believes in what you're doing and want to at least sow some time into your business, even if they can't sow money into your business. So those are just four things, right? You know, just right off, you know, top of our conversation about how you can tap into a skill set that you need, even when you don't have the money for to give it in exchange for the skill set.
Great, great content that I believe was very useful. And for those of you that are listening, please, if you did not catch that, I need you to rewind. I need you to rewind now and take notes on every single thing she just offered, because all of those are those tools are going to end up being necessary, and tools like those being necessary so that you have them. So the next question I have for you, so we talked about the different ways to get them. And so if I'm new to this world of bringing people on, one of the things that I could be totally just something that could just blow my brain about is, okay, well, I have all these options. How do I vet these people? What are at least two different questions that I can ask either an intern or a freelancer or let's say someone that is bartering services? What are at least two questions that I can ask them to make sure that they can maybe be a good fit for me and I them?
Okay, good question. So let's look at it. So you've gone through the process that we kind of talked about at the top of the podcast. You've gone through the process of determining what it is that you need help with. And in that, you understand what the tasks are that you're going to want the person to do. So one of the questions could be after you've conveyed to them what it is that you would like them to do is to find out what experience, if any, that they have in that area that you particularly need work in. So that could be where they give you a sample of their work. So like, do you have a sample of the work that I'm going to want you to do if it winds up being a good fit? So you want to ask them about their background in accordance to what it is that you actually want them to do. So if they have direct experience with that, or if it's an intern, maybe they've had curriculum in the school setting, in the college setting, that they've already gotten some experience through that medium of learning what it is that you want them to do. And then they can come in and begin to address what it is that you want them to do. But you can always ask for a writing sample. Say, for instance, you want them to come in and write, you know, ghost write some blogs, all right? So you can ask them for writing samples of what they've written in class, what they've written in, you know, their literature class or something like that, just particularly interns. But even with a freelance or someone that you're going to be doing some strategic partnership with, you can also ask them, okay, what type of portfolio of work have you done? You know, what samples can you send me to let me know that it would be a good fit with what I'm trying to do? So that's one question you can ask them. And then another question you can ask them is, where have they actually applied that skill set before? Has it been in a previous employer? Has it been with other people that they have strategically partnered with or other clients? So you can ask those two particular questions of someone. It's like, you know, let me see your work. You know, do you have examples of your work, and where have you applied that work for a previous employer or a previous, you know, strategic partner or another freelance client that you've had?
Man, thank you. I believe that what you just gave really was needed. And people that are listening, I've been an entrepreneur since I was 22 years old. Currently, at the date of this recording, I'm 35. So everything she's telling you is things that I've experienced myself and questions that I presented that have made all the difference in hiring somebody or just knowing maybe I shouldn't bring somebody on at this time. So thank you so much for that. So what I would like to really get into now is one of the ways that you market yourself. So if you're listening, please at this time go to www.delmarjohnson.com. That's www.delmarjohnson.com. And so one of the things that you're going to find on that website at this time is Delmar wrote a book called Seasons of My Soul. And what I would like to talk about right now is, though you really do help people with HR, you have to, for yourself, you have to think about marketing yourself. Mm-hmm. And a book I have found is a great way to market yourself by bringing an additional resource to mm-hmm. clientele, to an audience. So how has a book really helped you get your name out there?
Well, even in that book, and I'm actually writing the HR book for entrepreneurs right now, it wind up being a business card, if you will. You know, we'll go to networking events or go to conferences or workshops or things of that nature. And, you know, you begin to talk about what you do or, you know, what your zone of genius is and that you do. And a book actually serves as a business card. And you can open up the conversation with the things that you've talked about in the book, not necessarily, you know, just, oh yeah, in chapter 3, this is what I talk about, but just talking about some of the things, you know, but just talk about some of the things that you've done and why it is that you even wrote the book, you know, when you've had that time to do that. And with that Seasons of My Soul book, it was more on the empowerment side of me. So if I'm going to a women's conference, which I have before, if I'm going to a women's conference that it is about empowerment, that is the perfect business card to use, is that book. It's like, hey, I wrote a book called Seasons of My Soul. And these are some of the things that I'll talk about that, you know, that go along perfectly with us being in this room as women, trying to find out who we are and be empowered to tap into who we are as women, the things that we're going through and how to overcome it. So it really becomes a conversation piece and becomes an opportunity to begin to open up a dialogue with someone that you may be, that you're, you know, conversing with at a conference again or at a networking opportunity. So it really serves as a business card. It really does. And it opens up the conversation to begin to find out more about that person beyond the book.
And I really agree with that. And one of the things that I like about how you started is that you wrote the empowerment book first. And the reason why I like that is because regardless of the industry or regardless of, you know, the client that you're dealing with, the audience when you're speaking or doing consulting or what have you, mm-hmm. you can always start on a humanistic level. You can always yes. start on a soul to soul, eye to eye, heart to heart level, and then enter into how you dominate the HR industry. So I like that part.
Exactly.
And what, so people that are interested in Seasons of My Soul, the book you currently have now, what could they expect from purchasing it and then diving into it?
Well, in purchasing that and diving into that, you really find out, again, like you said, tapping into the humanistic side of people, of myself. And it really talks about a journey that I took. That's why it's called Seasons of My Soul, because I think everybody has a season. Everyone goes through a season of life, and where there's four seasons in the natural, right? So it chronicled a journey that I had when I lived away from my family for 12 years. Obviously, I would come back and visit, but I lived away from my family for 12 years. So I started out really talking about my childhood, just kind of give a backdrop of where I came from as an individual. And then talked about journeys of relationships, you know, relationships that went wrong and how I, you know, got past it. It talks about me when I lost everything at the age of 43 and how I began to turn that around. It talks about just being in a space where, you know, the dry season was just a little bit too dry. It's like, when am I going to see another season where I'm not struggling as much as I have in previous seasons? So it really talks the ebbs and flow of the seasons that I went through in my life during that 12-year period. So it just talks about how to get past the dry season or the desert season, as I like to call it, in your life, and then how to keep holding on to your hope. holding on to hope. That really is a strong thing for me. When you lose hope, you really lose a lot of things. But if you hold on to your hope, you hold on to a sense of sanity, if you will, then you can get on the other side of that. So I just talk about the ebbs and flow of the seasons that I went through in my life during that time period.
Which, as someone who has definitely been through ebbs and flows in their own life, me, I can appreciate, because number one, if you are definitely in the spring or the summer of your life, I am happy for you in this moment. I congratulate you in this moment. I revere you in this moment, but please know that seasons come and go. And sometimes seasons are short-lived, and sometimes seasons last years. And for some people, seasons even last decades. And so while you are in your summer season, while you're in your spring season, just be mindful. Just be mindful that in those times to come, there is a resource, there is a tool right now called Seasons of My Soul, that in those times, or someone that's connected to you that are dealing with some things right now, they have a resource that they can get by going to www.dalemarjohnson.com. And as we wrap up this show, Delmar, one of the things I would like for you to consider doing is, if, let's say we have someone that is listening, and you know, they're getting very, 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 very just feeling the pressure and the gravity of entrepreneurship and this whole making their first 10,000. Like, they know they want to be a millionaire. They know they want to, you know, bust six figures wide open, and they just feel like maybe this isn't for them, and they just want to know that this is possible. Could you speak and say something to them in this moment?
Definitely. Good question. And I will say to them, because something I thought about as you was talking earlier, is like, a lot of times entrepreneurs, we will get caught up in the shiny object syndrome. And we'll begin looking too much at what the other people, what other people are doing that, you know, have the five figure, the six figure, the seven figure, the eight figure business that they've worked on, you know, that they've worked toward and probably are worthy and have earned. However, you really have to tap into what it is that you know that you bring into the marketplace, what it is that you know that you bring into, you know, the solution that you bring to the marketplace for that particular niche that is waiting on you to show up. So if you, when you get into that shiny object syndrome, you really have to, you really have to rebuke that thing, for lack of a better word. It's like, you cannot get stuck in the shiny object syndrome. And the reason why I talk about that, because I was in it for a long time. While it's just like, oh, wow, you've already hit six figures. You already hit seven figures. Like, man, and I'm still, you know, down here at the five figures, which is nothing wrong with five figure business. Let's get that straight. But you cannot get caught up in that thinking that, okay, you're not going to reach that $10,000. But if you become, if you get clear about what the solution is that you bring, if you get clear about the why that you said that you, you know, that you wrote down on paper 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and maybe still hadn't hit that, your first $10,000. If you understand what it is that you're really supposed to be doing in the lane that you're wanting to go in, then that $10,000 will come. I promise you. And no, it's not an overnight success for everybody. And most of the time, it's not an overnight success. Even if they said that, overnight success may have taken 5 years, may have taken 10 years to the point where it's like, okay, finally something has happened. But you have to have the tenacity as an entrepreneur. You have to, you know, you have to have the tenacity and the resilience to actually get through the ebbs and flows that are going to be inevitable. They are inevitable. But you have to understand what it is that you're really wanting to do, and what it is that you, what problem that you really are solving, and how valuable the solution that you, that you're wanting to offer in the marketplace is to those people who are waiting on you to show up.
Nice, nice. So if you are listening to that and listening to this show, and you did feel like, you know, maybe entrepreneurship wasn't for you, maybe because, you know, you weren't like everyone else, your success doesn't look like everyone else, I'm here to co-sign on everything Delmar said, and that, like, five-figure businesses really do, they matter. Like, your place in the marketplace. Your place in the industry matters, and we need you. We admonish you to continue doing what you do, what you know you can do, what you've dreamed of doing, so that people can know more about you and what you have to offer, because someone somewhere is literally waiting for you to show up, not just for yourself, but for them. So Delmar, thank you so much for coming on to Genius Academy with Ace Laveau. We extend the invitation for you to come back again. You have made a big difference for myself. You have made a big difference for the audience here, for every genius that is listening, every genius in training that is listening. We thank you so much. And we just really wish you the best with Seasons of My Soul, with HR Brain for Hire. And just for so they can know, please let us know where we can find you.
All over social media, obviously, DelmarJohnson.com. And you can check me out at Facebook at my name, Delmar Johnson. And you can also check me out on Instagram as the Small Biz HR Coach. So you
Thank
can find
you
me
so
anywhere.
I'm
easy to find.
All. Yes, and I will say, she really is easy to find. You, like, seriously, Delmar, DelmarJohnson. She really is easy to find. And as always, I am Ace Laveau. Dreams and blessings.
Hello, this is Ace Laveau, and this is the Entrepreneur Show. I am so ecstatic to be here for you today, and I do mean for you. That is the whole purpose of this platform, is so that I can make a difference and support you and what your endeavors are. So, I'm going to get right into it on this episode, and because this episode's title is Do Entrepreneurs Matter? The first thing that we have to really get to the heart of is, what in the whole hell is an entrepreneur? Now, some of you have been introduced to me via social media, and it's possible that looking at a live or looking at something that I've written down, you will notice that my moniker, or what I go by, is America's number one entrepreneur coach. Now, how in the whole hell did I create that particular title? Well, as someone who has been an entrepreneur for a while, I've been entrepreneurial minded since I was 9, and I opened my first actual business, being registered with the state, since 2012. And at the time of this recording, this is 2020. So that would look like 8 years. So for 8 years, I have been a legitimate business owner, a legitimate entrepreneur. And in that process of those 18 years, I did something. I came out. So I first came out as bisexual, and now identify as being pansexual. If you are someone that is just listening and you have no idea what that means, because you're not totally clear about all the letters of the LGBTQIA+, pansexual literally means, in a nutshell, I like pretty people. That's it. I like pretty people. And hopefully, usually, pretty people like me back. So, an entrepreneur, what that is a queer identified person that is also an entrepreneur or desires to be one. Now, that's the first step. The first step in making sure that, in knowing that entrepreneurs matter, is being able to define what an entrepreneur is. So now that we've defined it, let's go a little bit further. There was a report that was put out, and I'm looking for the name of the organization. I don't want to get the organization messed up. It was a report that was presented by the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. And their report identified their findings as far as business owners who were under the LGBTQIA plus umbrella. And so with their findings, I'll just read a little bit of their findings. What we do know, according to the U.S. Small Business Administration, is that there are nearly 28 million small businesses in the United States, and over 22 million include individuals who are self-employed. Significantly, since 1995, small businesses have generated over 65% of the net new jobs in the United States, and 99.7% of all America's employers are considered small businesses. As of October 2016, 909 businesses are officially certified as LGBT business enterprises by the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. The National Gay Lesbian Chamber of Commerce is the exclusive third-party certifying body which verifies that eligible businesses are majority owned by LGBT individuals. So, with that being said, please understand that, contrary to what a lot of people believe, we are here. I don't want to do the whole "we are here, we are queer." However, we are. So, please know that if you do identify as LGBTQ+, even if you don't identify publicly, there is a lot of individuals that identify as being queer and entrepreneurs. So please don't feel that you are an island. Please do not feel as if you are the only one. Yes, you are a unicorn. And guess what? There's a pack. There are flocks of, like, there are so many of us out here doing what we're doing. And I definitely wanted to make sure that I talked about the need of us, the value of us, because in business, not everyone values us. So for instance, I was interested in doing this podcast a year ago. In that, you know, the preparation of it, I had reached out to a service provider and said, you know, I really want to do the podcast. And they're like, okay, great. And they said, well, we're gonna help with your graphics. And I said, are you sure? And they said, what do you mean, am I sure? I said, well, please understand, you know, I know I say a lot, but I'm Black and I identify as being queer. So with that being said, I don't know if everyone on your team, because you, the person I'm speaking with, you're not the person that's going to create the graphic. A team member is. So just know that you might want to consider, you know, making sure that that's okay. And they said, no, it's fine, don't worry about it. And I, 2 days later, I get a message on social media saying, can we talk? And come to find out that one of their team members was from the islands in the West Indies, in the Caribbean, which has been noted as being not as friendly to the LGBT community as a lot of us would like. And they said that they would not be willing to do my graphic. And the person I was talking with felt so bad, felt so horrible. And I had to let them know, like, look, I get it that you feel horrible in this moment, and I thank you for having empathy, but please understand that when I am positive and I'm talking about, you know, what I do for others, please understand I'm not doing that just from a place of being festive and celebratory, even though I do believe in we need to have places where we are not just tolerated, but places that we are celebrated. So with that being said, please know, entrepreneurs matter. We more than matter. We are necessary. And if you are a queer identified person and you feel like, how do I merge what I do as far as my product, my good, my service, how do I merge that with who I am and who I be as far as this, you know, queer identified person, and I'm using queer as an umbrella term. So I'm this queer identified person, how do I do all of that and do it successfully and authentically? That is the purpose of this podcast. I desire for your needs to be met in this. Please feel free to reach out. Please feel free to let me know what serves you, what doesn't serve you, because it's like a restaurant. I desire for you to keep getting fed. I desire for me to keep being in the kitchen, cooking you wonderful, delicious food. But you gotta let me know if I put too much salt in it, it needs a little bit more sugar. Like, just let me know, because I am here to make a difference for you. As always, I am Asa Laveau. Dreams and blessings. Hello, you beautiful human you. Welcome to the Entrepreneur Show with Asa Laveau. I am your host, Asa Laveau, and today I am going to talk shit. So I've already marked this particular podcast explicit, because as I already said, I'm here to talk shit today. I'm with all the shits today. So what I mean by that is the episode title for today is How Do You Date Us? Or How to Date Us? So just letting you know up front, I told you already, I'm with the shits. I'm totally with the shits. And what this is for, this episode is for the moment when you actually have swiped right on Tinder, or you actually met somebody on Grindr that isn't just about the sex, or let's just say that whole Facebook dating thing actually worked for you, because I'm not seeing it working for anybody, including myself, hand raised. So let's just say that happened, and in that moment that you match with them or connected with them, and you see that, wow, they're a real person. Like, they actually will like me, and I like them back. And then, you know, you're texting fast, and then they're texting fast, and then you're texting fast, and then they're texting fast, and like the whole thing, and your jaws are all hurting, and you're like, ooh, I wonder what it would be like to like hold their hand. And if you are somebody who was not LGBTQ+, and you're like, what is the whole thing about holding your hand? Believe me, to hold hands with someone of the same gender in public, especially in the state where I'm from, Oklahoma, that's a thing. That is a fantasy all within itself, to hold somebody's hand in public without feeling the need to throw hot grits on somebody. Let me just put that in there. So, with that being said, if you have found somebody and you're like, but Asa, I'm a queer identified person, whether that be I'm a lesbian, I'm gay, I'm trans, whatever that means, and now I have, and I'm an entrepreneur, or I'm about to be, or a business owner, and I have somebody that they like me, but I don't know how to particularly articulate how they can support me or what this life looks like. Like, I don't know how to do that all the way. Could you tell them for me what that's like and what they're getting themselves into in a way that doesn't scare them? I most certainly will. Now, I'm just putting a disclaimer. For those of you that this is not for, like, if you haven't met that person, I just invite you to go ahead and come to me next month to SingleCon in Miami. Yeah, SingleCon is for single entrepreneurs, and so you can just meet me there. So go to www.singlecon.co, meet me in Miami, we gonna fuck it up, and we gonna have a wonderful time, and so all these other booed up people can, you know, be booed up, but you and I will be in Miami. So Miami, Valentine's weekend, come join me. So, for those people, and you found somebody that's a queer identified entrepreneur, otherwise known as a entrepreneur, These are different ways you can support them. So first off, please know that ain't shit about to be balanced. Let's just get that out the way. And you telling them that, oh, this doesn't look balanced to me, that's some bullshit. We don't like it. We don't care for it because we understand that, guess what? The shit's not gonna be balanced. And what balanced really is a judgment or a comparison. So you're telling us that you want us to be like everybody else. And guess what? We're not with the shits. That's not us. We're not that. We aren't watching Mari, who's the daddy or who's the father, you know, at 12 o'clock noon. We don't even know the different judge shows that are on because we're doing shit. We are making things happen. We might get a call at 11 o'clock p.m., but guess what? That's not our ex. That's a deal on the other side of the world that we are making happen because we desire to be a global brand and be a global presence. Or even because we have a trip planned over there or desire a trip planned over there and we're making things happen. So where you have one person that, you know, has a 9-to-5, they get up, they go to work, they come home, and they're just free until, you know, they're free from like 6 p.m. until the next morning, like around 7 or 8 a.m. They're just free. Yeah, we're not free. We're not free. However, we have understood how to schedule and how to create a possibility. So, we know what it's like to maybe, you know, send you Grubhub or DoorDash to your office, to your work, to your house, because we're thinking of you, but we may not be able to actually bring it ourselves because what? We're being interviewed or we are doing a presentation, we're pitching someone, or we're meeting somebody with coffee because somebody has a way in which to expand our business in a way that we didn't even know a week ago. Or we are doing our best to really have some motivation because it's not even 9 o'clock and we didn't already quit the business 3 different fucking times. Like 3 different times we said, fuck it, I'm done, I'm out, deuces. And we are doing our best to motivate ourselves. So that means if we are spiritually connected, you know, as far as the church, as Christian-based, we might have, you know, Joel Osteen on, T.D. Jakes on, Jamal Bryan on. If we are, as far as being conscious-minded, being mindful, we might have, you know, Abraham Hicks, Eckhart Tolle, or something like that. If we're like really trying to feel it, we might have Joel Brown on. We might have, what's the hip hop preacher guy on? The guy from Shark Tank, Damon John. Like, it might be a number of different things we might be infusing ourselves with so that we stay motivated. So please know that we are not balanced. If you want a little bit more information about that, I did write a book called Fuck Balance. Yes, I really did. I wrote a book called Fuck Balance because our days aren't like that. And me being, I am single and I have a child and I have a lot of other things. So my son, it's sad to say this, and I don't feel totally great about acknowledging this, but my son knows this, and he's my son, my S-O-N as well as my S-U-N, and he has come to understand that there are days where daddy gotta write the book. Like, daddy gotta write the book because I know what his face looks like when I sign a book. And when I'm at a book signing, I see his face light up, even if he's like right behind me watching me do it. And so that feeling of him being there watching me sign it feels amazing, like totally amazing. But guess what? I'm not able to do, you know, take you shopping for shoes today because I gotta write the book, or because I have to do this video because I understand that content is king or queen. It's a big deal. Let's just say that. Content is serious, and so I gotta do these videos, or I gotta write this blog, or I need to write this article, or I need to be interviewed for an article or a blog or a podcast or whatever. So when that doesn't look very balanced, it's we do our best to make things happen. We care about you. We're so interested. But what looks like something over here does not look the same for us. So what we're going to also need you to do, besides understand that balance is a judgment, we also need you to realize that we need you not to assume anything. And I mean that. Matter of fact, while I'm talking about it, let's just start with that. Because not being assumptive is part of something called the four agreements. Let's go ahead and talk about these four agreements in totality. And I really think that that's really going to help you. I didn't even have that planned, but as I'm talking, yes, the four agreements, that really does help. So let's start with that. If you love us, or a way that you really can love us, is number one, not making assumptions. Please don't make assumptions. We need you to communicate clearly what it is you desire at the time you desire it, with all the information you know. So for instance, if you say to us, I sure am hungry. And we'd be like, yeah, I'm kind of hungry too. And then we go back on the laptop. It does not mean that we don't care about you eating. It means you have not been clear about what you desire from us in that moment. So if you want us to stop what we're doing, get up, make dinner with you, go out somewhere with you, even if we order the food in, but we turn everything off and get eye to eye, face to face, heart to heart, soul to soul with you, we can do that. But don't make assumptions, okay? Please don't make them. The next thing, the next agreement within this book, and if you don't know, you can always read this book called The Four Agreements, and it's a book by a man named Don Miguel Ruiz. So the next thing that would really help you love us, help you date us, is for you to be impeccable with your word. Because you have no idea second and third and fourth and fifth effects of what you said. So if you said that you desire to, you know, spend a weekend with us, if you desire for us to clear our night, if you desire for us to clear an hour, you really don't know what it took for us to actually do that. You don't know a person we've been waiting to speak with and get on the phone with for the last, you know, month, 6 months, even a year. And they finally said yes, and then you say you want to do this, and because we want to show you that we are in it to win it, we may have canceled or pushed back something for you, and you don't even understand the gravity or the enormity of the action that we took in order for you to feel respected, safe, and supported. You have no idea. So when you break that, when your word is no longer impeccable, that's a problem. Let's say we're living in a place, you know, like London, Paris, Philadelphia, New York, and we're saying, you know, meet me at the platform, meet me at the train station at this time, and then you just haphazardly forget or just text at the last minute, oh, I decided to do something else. You know, again, you have no idea what that has done for us. So I'm asking you, please, 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 please be with the shits and show up when you're supposed to show up. Be impeccable with your word. The third thing, please, with us, we're going to ask you, don't take anything personal. Please don't take anything. Don't take everything as personal as you could have. So in those moments when we might get up from sleep and we might choose to work on something. Now, if you're listening and you catch your person, you know, watching porn, that's a conversation that you all need to have. That's not what I'm talking about. And again, this is not a judgment on porn. you know, porn can be really, really good. I'm just going to put that out there. It can be really, really good. However, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if your person gets up in the middle of the night and they're working on something, please just don't feel like it's a hit on you as an individual. In those times, it's best to ask questions. It's very, very important to do that. And it's also, it can also be seen as something as selfish, because you are thinking that everything we're doing is because of you, and that's actually not the case. Not everything we're doing is because of you. Like that whole song, like, I bet you think the song is about you, don't you? Yeah, please don't be the reason we sing that song, okay? Just ask questions. And then the fourth and final thing, and this is for all parties involved. Well, everything has been for all parties involved, definitely. But this is one of them. Always do your best. So when we ask you, would you look at our website and tell us what you think about it? If we ask you to look at our website that we just, you know, received from the designer or from ourselves, this is not the best time to just be like, oh, yeah, it's cool, whatever. Please, please, because some of us, we have not allowed our work to be total and separate things from ourselves. Some of us still feel that our websites, our landing pages, our brochures, our TED Talks are extensions of us. And so when you don't take the time to actually review it and give feedback other than, yeah, it's cool, whatever, please don't do that. We're asking you in the moment because we value what you have. So always do your best with us. It's going to be very imperative and important that you do. So please do that. If you have anything that you would like for me to know, please feel free to write in. Contact me on any and every social media platform. If you have another way of thinking about this, if this helped you in any way, please let me know. I will definitely, I will likely go back on air and talk about what you said. I will keep you anonymous unless you choose or tell me not to. But just know that I am very interested in how I can support you, how I can make the Entrepreneur Show with Ace LaVoe a success. And as always, I am Ace LaVoe. Dreams and blessings. Hello and welcome to the Entrepreneur Show with Ace LaVoe, and I am your host today, Ace LaVoe. And I really hope you guys had a really, really great Happy New Year. If you desire to know, my new year looked like me staying in. It was the first time I've ever stayed in alone, just because I really just really wanted to get a head start. I got a head start on 2020 months ago, but I just felt this unction to, like, prove to myself, like, I want this. I desire this for myself, and there needs to be proof that I want it and that I'm after it. So I stay home. That's not a judgment on anybody else. I'm not one of those people that say, you know, you could be doing this. I believe that you can make money, twerk, see your friends, be online, watch Netflix. Like, I believe you can do all of those things. So I'm not a either or, I'm a both and type of guy. In more ways than one, I will say. Me being pansexual, that's what that joke is all about. So I say all that to say, you know, I was thinking about my friends and my family the night before New Year's Eve. So the eve of New Year's Eve, and I happened to be watching something on YouTube by Abraham Hicks. I really adore everything Abraham Hicks and Esther Hicks. So just FYI about that. And the more I listened, the more I got really, really in tune with my divinity, the divinity of those in my space, how I saw them. And then it was like a hiccup of my thinking, because based on different things I had been seeing and conversations I had been having with them, I received a message like, they may not look at themselves the way I see them. And it started with someone that I am energetically giving attention to at the moment. That's the best way to say this. Because I'm not dating this person. I'm not, you know, betrothed to this individual. Just, I like them. That's it. Yes, I'm even smiling when I say I like them. So yes, but I digress. So I was reaching out to them first. Their energy, their possibilities, their divinity came first. And then it quickly went to family, my mother, my son, my sisters, my brother. And then it started to expand. And I got so clear about my feelings for them that I literally started crying. No, and I mean this literally. I will say, the older I get, the more ease tears come. And it has taken years, years, for tears to flow as freely as they do. I now see tears as the way to moisturize your heart space. Definitely. I definitely see that. And I decided to write. I'm a writer. Before I was a speaker, before I was an entrepreneur, I was a writer. I wrote my first short story in second grade. I was writing poems for a really long time. That's my macking tool. So whenever I was in, you know, junior high school, even college, and I desired to be with someone, I would write them a letter. That's how I macked. I wasn't the, oh baby, what's up? Like, hey baby, I was not that guy. I was the letter writer. And not a whole display either. Like, I would do it underhanded or slide it in between class. Like, nobody even knew. It was a covert operation. So, me writing, I wanted to express myself with words. I love words. Like, I adore words. My love language is words of affirmation. So that's how somebody can really let me know that they are feeling me and that I get the green light to continue or begin feeling them. So I started to write, and it was 1:40 in the morning. And I just poured into it. And after I wrote it and I sent it out to those around me. So the first group of people received text messages. And those are the people that mean something to me in my space. They have been around for a very long time. Those are the people that I reach out to when I'm having a particular challenge. I'm not seeing my life the way I would like to see my life. And then about an hour and a half, hour or so later, I realized, you know, I do have an email list of people and they're connected to me. So why not contact them? And so I sent the message to them. And now that the Entrepreneur Show with Asa Laveau is a thing and I am now connected with you, I would like to create this time and space to share a message of love to you. And why in the world would I even care, just beside the connection? Being entrepreneurs, a lot of times when you're in the LGBTQ plus community, the bottom line is you are sexualized. That is the reality of a lot of us, whether we are on dating apps or some of us are sex workers, and I'm sex positive, so this is not a judgment against them. If that's what you choose to do and you are safe and all those things, then hey, do you. So I know that there's a sexualization of us from us. It's not always from the outside. A lot of times it is from us. And so a love conversation isn't always given. And I desire to make a difference for you today in that way by speaking life, speaking love into you. So I have the exact message that I sent. And if you would just allow me the moment to share with you what I wrote, I will do that and send you on your way so that you can make a difference into the world. So without further ado, this is my message of love to you. You are connected to me, so I desire to speak life over you. You are the essence of God's imagination. I see you as a whole, loving, divine, desired reflection of grace and power. I see you smiling. I see you dancing. I see you walking, running, and standing in joy. You can do anything because you are a part of everything that there ever was and everything that there ever will be. I see you telling me that miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle happened today and the next day and the next day. Your DNA is pure magic, transformational enlightenment on a molecular level, and physical proof that you are your best thing. Because we are connected, I know that you are universally essential, which means you, yes, you are not a mistake, but rather an on-purpose bliss. I am delighted to know that you are breathing the same air I breathe, sharing the same sunrise I see, and a part of the collective that creates worlds. Yes, you create worlds. Your world of support, your world of comfort, your world of enough, your world of excitement, your world of ease. I am better for knowing you. Thank you for your experience, your desires, your intention, your emotions, and your dreams. Nothing is wrong. I'm just grateful. Grateful for this right now moment. In this moment, we are safe. In this moment, we are whole. In this moment, we are our ancestors' wildest dreams. Thank you for knowing this, and know you don't have to do life alone. As always, I am Asa Laveau. Dreams and blessings.